No. Yeah, we're still trying to figure this out. But we finally decided to start a podcast. We think it'll be kind of fun. We're doing it mainly just for entertainment purposes. And if it turns into something, cool. If not, we're just here to have a good time. The reason we titled it Into the Vortex is, I mean, any conversation can turn into a vortex, right? And you go down little rabbit holes of discussions and just trying to figure out where the conversation's going, but just go with the flow. And, I mean, we're going to talk about everything. There's not going to be anything specifically that we're talking about. It's not like just a sports-only podcast or strictly political podcast.
We're just talking about life. That's it.
We're just talking about everything, man. What's going on in the world? What's got us thinking? And we're going to have some guests on the show. I'm going to interview some really interesting people. Really excited about that. More of that to follow. We don't want to drop any big bombshells right now. But hey, Nate, tell us about yourself.
Well, my name's Nate. I am a very highly introverted type of person.
Yeah, you are. Unless you're with me, and then you turn into a fucking extrovert.
It's because I know you.
Yeah, we started going to the gym recently. We both lost close to 25, 30 pounds since we started.
Yeah.
And we're doing pretty good. Where'd you start off at?
I started out at 275.
275. That's a lot less than what I started out at.
Yeah.
I started off at 340.
Have we been slacking, though?
This last month, we haven't done shit thanks to Thanksgiving. But that's just an excuse.
That's the best excuse.
We did eat some pretty good fucking food.
I had literally three Thanksgivings.
Dude, that's a lot. Do you ever get tired of just going to different places?
I've been full for like the past 2 weeks, and it hasn't even been 2 weeks.
Dude, I'd get tired of going to different places, man. I really would. But I mean, there's a lot of families out there that, you know, travel to grandpa's and go to grandma's and then go to a Friendsgiving. And then, but at what point do you transition that to just you doing your own thing?
I don't know. This year has actually been the first year that we had a little family just in-home Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
Yeah. What'd it was nice.
Just you, the wife, and two kiddos?
Yep, that's it.
Nice. We haven't really ran into that problem. No, we have that problem more of a, like, Christmas time.
Yeah.
We haven't done our own, like, Christmas thing. We would do, like, something in the mornings, and then we go to Gigi's house, and then we go to Grandpa's house.
It's like playing hopscotch.
It is. It is. But, I mean, it's important because every different family has their own traditions.
Yep.
This next year, we're making it very important for us to have our own tradition on Christmas.
Yeah.
Because, like, my daughter's Emma, and she's now four. She's going to be five in May. And I just think it's important that we set our own traditions now, which I think we should have done a bit previously.
Oh, yeah. After so many years, you just start really thinking, like, dang, life is moving fast.
Dude, for real.
You really sit back and you just look around and you're like, damn, what year is it?
It's a blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, honestly, like,
it's sad, to be honest.
Like, I work in emergency medical services. Mm. And since COVID, like, I still feel like I'm in 2020.
Yeah.
But I'm not, dude. It's almost 2025.
I feel like I'm still in the year 2017, 18.
Things just flew by so fast. It's almost unreal.
You blink and it's been a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? I feel like we're honestly still in January for this year, but
yeah, next month is the next year
already. Yeah. It's crazy. It's just, I don't know.
We went through all four seasons already and it's already coming back around. So let's everybody get to know Nate. So you graduated from Central Texas High School. And now you are a professional redactor, but you're going to be moving into the emergency medical services field this coming spring. You're going to be starting EMT school, right?
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about that?
I'm scared, but I'm excited. You know, who wants to go back to school, you know, after doing, you know, elementary, middle school, high school?
Yeah, bro, like, we're approaching our 30s now.
Yeah, we're old as fuck.
Think about how long ago we graduated.
2015.
It's been a long time, man. Well, it's coming 10 up years on 10 this years. Year. This May, this coming May, will be a decade.
10 years. You going to the anniversary or whatever it's called? The little 10-year reunion?
I don't think so.
I'm not going.
Like they sent us an invite thing on Facebook, but they're talking about like, oh, you got to pay a cover charge. And
no.
Like,
once you start hitting little fees, I'm good.
Like I would rather just let's show up at a park and hang out. Like, I'll grill some bratwurst for everybody.
Don't get me wrong. I miss the people I hung out with in high school.
I had good memories, but I wouldn't necessarily go back.
No.
I mean, I do wish I would have enjoyed it more when I was there.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, after looking back now, you're just like, damn, I wish I enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I do too.
Because now all we do is, we're fathers, you know, obviously we take care of our kids. Yeah. But now it's just eat, sleep, work.
Yeah. Like, we're protectors. That's all we do now. Yep. We provide and we protect our children and our wives. That's it.
That's it.
Now, we have picked up more hobbies along the way. Like, it's taken a decade to pick up some hobbies. You know, now we're going to the gym. We took up hunting this year.
Yeah.
That was...
Shot my very first deer.
That was fucking cool, right?
I was shaking like a leaf, man.
Shaking like a leaf. I was smooth as butter. Does that make me a certified killer?
Man, it's been a year, though. This is probably one of the best years I've had.
No, likewise.
To be fair. I mean, now starting back up school, it's going to be totally different.
How'd you enjoy how was your first ride out you did on an ambulance?
Oh, it was a blast. Going lights and sirens. Oh, the adrenaline dump is insane.
I mean, there is an adrenaline dump in there. I mean, that is one of the more dangerous parts of the job. But like, you have an opportunity to change someone's life.
Oh yeah, at their worst part, yeah. Or their worst point.
Absolutely. When someone calls 911, it's usually the worst day of their life.
Oh yeah.
And when they have no one else to turn to, they're turning to you.
Yep.
And now,
if I could put a smile on somebody's face, you made my day. You know.
Yeah. You're there to serve, and you're there to take care of someone on the worst day of their life, and walk them through a crisis or take care of them when no one else there is able to.
Exactly.
So, what did you used to do before you got into redacting? I know you kind of moved into the redacting realm during COVID because you were pretty much burnt and you just wanted to do something different. Where'd you come from? What'd you start out doing?
Let's see. So, the very first job I've ever had, Burger King. I did that for, 4.5 years? And that's how I originally got fat.
Dude, there is nothing wrong with fast food work. I enjoyed it. I did it when...
Oh, I enjoyed it.
I did it when I was in high school. Like, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken, baby. And then, while I was going through EMT school, I worked at Einstein Bagels. I did not know that. I would show up at 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock... Eating all them bagels. Oh, that's just dough at that point. But you best believe, by the time the bagels were done, I was making me a nice sandwich.
No, I believe it.
They had some of the best sandwiches.
I could say Burger King was fun. It was fun. The people that I worked with, it was never a dull moment.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment. Like,
I think that's where anywhere you go. I mean, it's the people.
Oh yeah, that's what makes it fun. The people, you know, just like if it was your birthday, this was like years and years ago. But if it was your birthday, man, you better bring an extra pair of work clothes because you're gonna be covered in like whipped cream, everything. Because that's how they show like, oh, happy birthday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
There's nothing like walking around a corner and someone dumping a bunch of flour on you.
No, not even that. It'll be like, man, you'll get like pied. They'll make like this homemade pie, whipped cream, chocolate, strawberry sauce, anything you can think of. Bam. All over you.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's fun when you're younger, but As a grown man now, if I got fucking pied, I would be livid.
Pissed.
Mostly because then I have to go fucking change and shower.
Yes. You smell like milk the rest of the night. You just smell it. It's just like, ugh.
What'd you do after you left the fast food realm like most people do eventually?
So after the 4.5 years, I ended up working for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice as a correctional officer.
How was that? How'd you end up with that? What made you apply to be a correctional officer?
I needed something different. I knew, obviously, fast food.
It's definitely a raise.
Yes. I just wanted to do it, see what it was like.
So how does that process work? Like, once you get hired on, like, they just send you to a prison and be like, here's the keys, don't let them out? Or
no. You have to go through, like, a 6-week course, like a 6-week academy, just learning everything.
You get tased?
No.
You get maced?
Actually, we didn't get... I mean, we got gassed. It was CS gas.
That's what you carry?
We carried OC spray. It was an OC mixture. OCCS.
Okay.
But we would, you know, practice spraying the OC gas. You wouldn't, like, spray somebody. But when it came to the CS gas, we all pretty much, like, locked arms. And then they, you know, pulled the pin. The gas came out. Put it all over, you know, sprayed it all over the face. It was horrible.
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
Horrible. I was out of 75 people. This is embarrassing. Out of 75 people, I was the only one to puke.
You are a puker, man. Like, you puked in the gym when we were doing power cleans.
Hey, that was rough, man. I could not get.
Just got to pop those hips.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think I ended up with 2 kids?
Clearly, you know how to pop the hips.
No, but I mean, at the prison, it was fun. Like, the people I've met on the way through all them years, immaculate.
So, when you got hired on, do you just, like, pick what unit you want to go to, or?
No, you have to, I mean, it's like a paperwork, you know, it's all paperwork. And you just say, I want to go to, this is my top unit. Mm-hmm. And if they say, yeah, you go.
Do most people get their top unit?
Yeah, I would think so, because it's just short all the way around.
I mean, like, for males, though, like, they would probably prefer to go to a women's unit because they don't have to pat down or do that extra
work. No padding, no stripping, no nothing like that.
So if you're, because you were at a female unit, right? And they call them, you know, female farms.
Yes.
So you were at an all female facility. So you just pretty much watched them and did your patrols, because you didn't have to pat down or search, but did you have to pat down and search, like, visitors, or how did that go? How did that work?
So visitations only during the days. I did night shift.
Oh, so you didn't even have to deal with that?
Nope. Just make sure they stay alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, where were you assigned, like SEG or general population?
So I started out in general pop. I did that for, like, the first 2 years, and then I went to cell block. And then after cell block, I ended up in ADSEG. For the rest of the time.
So how long did you work in the prison?
Ooh, I started in 2016 and I ended it in 2020.
Oh, so a good 4-year stretch. Yeah. What is something you absolutely learned from working in the prison that has transformed what you do today?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, stay vigilant. Like, some of these inmates, man, they're all nice and, you know, try to be respectful, but they're really not. Always got to stay vigilant.
Yeah, what would they call it? They're always running game.
Yeah.
There's always a game.
Always. But I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some offenders in there that are actually very respectful.
Yeah, I mean, I've never worked in a prison, but I hear respect goes a long way. You respect the inmates, they almost always respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have a problem, they're more likely to go to you because you treat them with respect.
Yes. I don't yell at them. Like, when I first walked up in there, they knew what they had to do. You know the rules. Just follow them, it would be good. So, just keep it simple.
How many fights you have to be in?
No. Let's see. I mean,
dude, females fight.
Oh yeah,
like they could throw some punches.
Yeah, I don't think I've been in maybe a few.
Your catchphrase is "These hands are rated E for everyone."
Yeah, yeah. No, at that time I was a very timid person, which I technically still am. But
so, how many times did you have to initiate an ICS?
Oh, wasn't a lot, surprisingly. I can actually count on my hands, you know, how many times? Maybe like 5 or 6.
I mean, it's nothing like the Hughes unit, the all-male facility. Oh,
no.
There's one going on like, what, every 20, 30 minutes?
Maybe.
Something going down?
Yeah. So.
What made you leave, ultimately? I mean, after 4 years, I mean, at that point, like, you're vested almost, right? Or is it 5?
Actually, it's 10.
So 10 years, you're vested?
Yeah. Once you hit your 10-year mark, there's no point in leaving.
No, I mean, vested as in like 5 years, you can keep your money in there or whatever that is. I know 10 years, if you were to leave at 10 years, like you get some sort of benefits out of that.
Yeah, I think you get to keep your benefits that you have if it was 10 years.
So why'd you end up leaving?
Just ready for something new. After so many years, you're just like, I feel like I can do more.
You feel like you can do more? Why don't you just promote up?
You know,
I mean, I finances. Know, I mean, my mother-in-law, she works at the prison facility, and I know when, like, you quit around COVID, mm-hmm. and I know, like, her workload expanded greatly during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, she's one of the risk managers. Like, she has a lot of responsibility on the unit to include, you know, continuing education and making sure everybody's up to date on safety. Like, she's the safety lady. Right.
Yeah.
But like, and when it came to COVID, like her workload just exploded. And so were you burnt out with all the policy and procedure changes?
Or? I was really burnt out. I don't know what really got me to that point. I was just ready to go. It was a lot. Don't get me wrong.
You were on night shift the whole time. Like,
yeah, I was.
Night shift really fucks with your body.
Yeah.
Like it messes with your health too. Like a lot of people who are on nights, like they gain a lot of weight. They, go through seasonal depression more mm-hmm. than folks who work shift work during the day, especially like at this time of year, you know, daylight savings time, like the sun goes down at 5:30. Most people don't start night shifts until 6 or 7.
Right.
You're going in when it's dark. Then now you're getting off when it's still dark. Like you don't see the day because you come mm-hmm. home and go to bed, get ready for the next shift that night.
Yep. 4 days on, 4 days off, 12 hour shifts.
That's rough, man.
It can be.
When I did 12 hour shifts. For a long time, 7 years. And I was lucky. I was only on nights for just under a year. And I got the opportunity to go to days. And when I went to days, like I realized just how much night shift fucked with me.
Yeah. How was the transition though?
When I transitioned back to day shift, dude, it was a struggle.
Trying to stay awake.
It's not just staying awake, it's just my body felt fatigued.
Yeah.
And then I realized, man, I gained a lot of weight when I was a night shift because I just felt like I ate more because mm-hmm. now like you're eating to stay awake.
Yep. You're eating to stay awake. Either you're trying to stay awake or you're just bored.
I made a lot of poor decisions with my health when I was on night shift.
Oh, same.
Went to day shift. That got better. And now I'm working 24-hour shifts.
That must be nice.
Yeah, dude. It's 8 days a month. 24/72s. Work one day, off for 3 days, go back in. It doesn't get any better than that. Personal life got better. I have all this time available to now pick up all these hobbies that I weren't able to do before. Because before, like when I was on 12s on day shift, we had OCP. Mm-hmm. OCP is on-call person.
Yeah.
And so I was on call. And, you know, and I work in emergency medical services. We had a mass exodus in healthcare in general when COVID happened. We had a mass exodus then too, and so now we're having to pull all these extra overtime shifts, mandatory on-call, and we had several, 4 to 5 a month, and when you only have like 14 days off in a month, you add another 4 or 5 days that you're having to come to work,
right?
And they're all 12-hour shifts, and now you're losing a lot of time with family, and I miss a lot of time with my oldest daughter mm-hmm. when she was born. She was born during COVID,
right?
Right. And so, and that was in 2020. She was born in May, and I felt like I missed out a whole bunch of opportunities with her because I was stuck at work. Now, I have all this free time that I don't even know what to do with, and here we are making a fucking podcast.
Yeah, this is crazy.
So.
This is crazy. definitely out of my comfort zone, 1,000%.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But here we are. I think it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm really excited to see who we get on to come on the show. We got some cool guests lined up. We got one that I'm really excited about is one of the case agents for a very big serial killer case.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drop any names or what the serial killer's name is, but we're going to talk about the case from the beginning to the end. And his story has never been told. So that's going to be really cool. And I got something else in the pipeline coming. It's going to be huge.
What is that?
It's going to be a convicted felon that's going to be getting released from state penitentiary. And I got a connection that's going to get this individual on the show. And and the story has only been told once. From that person's side. So I'm not going to drop any more hints than that. But stay tuned for that. That one's going to be massive. We don't know when it's going to come. It could be 2 years. It could be 3 years from now. But it's going to be fucking huge. It's going
to
be huge.
I didn't even know this.
No.
This is new to me.
Now you do. I'll tell you when we're off air. But it's pretty insane. I can't believe that we might get that cooking. That's going to be wild.
I'm excited. By the way, if anybody knows how to make a cartoon characters or like a picture into a cartoon character.
Yeah, we're looking at some more like a logo design. Like we named our show Enter the Vortex, like we mentioned previously, because every conversation is a vortex. You just spin into the vortex. You never know what you're going to get, what's going to come, and want to keep it engaging with everybody, and that's going to be absolutely wild. But we need a pretty cool graphic designer.
Yep.
And I don't know anybody that could do that. Do you?
No, not at all. Not yet.
We're going to find somebody.
Somebody.
It's going to be cool. So we kind of put a little logo together for the time being, but it's going to go from there. Eventually, our end goal is to also have this show as a video podcast. Mm-hmm. So we already got the lights. Like, we took a little road trip to Dallas the other day. You know, a quick 2 hour drive there, 2 hour drive, 2.5 hour drive back. We got a whole bunch of good equipment for $200, but we priced it out. It was ended up almost like $1,200. Like, we made a steal. He was a really cool guy. He said he's going to tune in, so he's going to be listening to this. Man, we appreciate the hell out of you, Chris. Thank you for the amazing deal you gave us, and we cannot wait to turn.
Thank you.
What you gifted us. Into something that we all could be proud for.
Couldn't say it any better.
So you're starting EMT school in January. What really drove you into thinking about emergency medicine?
I think it'd just be something really cool to learn. You know, also you're helping people, like we said earlier. It's just, I'm a very helpful person. Like, if I could help you in any way.
Yeah, there's a lot of different people in society, right? There's helpers, there's protectors, there's teachers, there's healers.
Shout out to everybody.
And for us, in emergency medical services, we encompass all of that.
Yep.
You know, we teach the public. We protect the public. We heal the public. And we help the public.
Yep.
So it's a...
I would say another big thing is growth. Like, there's a lot of growth that goes into that. You know, I just don't want to just be on an ambulance for the rest of my career. Like, I'd want to eventually, like, work on a helicopter, like a life flight.
Mm-hmm.
My ultimate dream is to become a pilot. So maybe that'll give me a little bit more time and... to be able to achieve that.
Yeah.
I want to do like what are they called when you take like the organs? You have like organs that somebody needs?
Organ donor transport?
Yes, there you go. I want to do that. Fly across the United States. Be able to do that.
Yeah, getting a heart to somebody who's going to die without it.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I know I got a colleague, he does it on the side. He does it around Central Texas. He transports, or he does organ transports. Because a lot of times, like most of the time, the organs that someone donates, thank you, if you are an organ donor, you are saving lives. You donate an organ, if you, you know, decease at this hospital and they harvest your organs, they're going to look for matches that are close.
Right.
And so more likely the community that you do pass away at, or you do die at, that community is where you're going to be saved. You're going to be saving lives there. Because if they can give this heart to somebody closer, that's more likely what they're going to do. However, there is a transplant list, but the transplant list, there's a whole bunch of different things that go into that.
Right.
You know, how sick you are, how much longer that can you survive without this organ versus this other person, you know. So it all goes into that. Like, how long can this organ survive out of a human body? Can they be safely transported? No, it goes into that. So that's a pretty cool gig.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the ultimate goal. That's what I want to do.
So how do you feel about, because right now you work at home.
Yeah.
I would lose my fucking mind if I worked at home. I couldn't focus. I'm like we talked about earlier, I'm very extroverted. I'm very ADHD. I just get sidetracked. I'm like, see someone else. I'm like, oh, I got to go work on this.
I'm the same exact way.
Fuck that job.
I'm extroverted.
But why leave at home work?
Like I said, I think it's just growth. Like,
yeah,
I want to keep on moving up. I feel like I can do more. I can do more.
Absolutely. Just keep striving. Just keep going. I get that.
I mean, but when I'm at a job, I stick it out, you know, until I feel like I can do better. So, I mean, how long have you been with the department?
I've been in emergency medical services for 8 years.
8 years. What made you want to start?
So, like, I actually started as an explorer. So, I was, I remember I was 13 years old riding on an ambulance on the weekends, just feeling it out, learning. And then when I turned 18 years old, I worked at a police agency, and then an opening popped up in the emergency medical services department that I applied for and got in. So I specialize in communications and 911 and public safety drones.
There you go.
So,
wow. And you want to stick it out all the way through, or are you thinking about doing something different? Or?
There's a lot of growth in emergency medical services, specifically in my department. And like, I just want to say now, like, our views and our opinions are not affiliated with the agencies that we work for.
Yep.
They are ours to ourselves. And we do not represent our departments on this podcast, nor will we represent our departments on this podcast. So just go with that for now.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of different things that I can do in emergency medical services, whether it's that a community health paramedic, SWAT paramedic, rescue paramedic. You got
the whole shebang.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff, man. Like, we are leading the United States in innovation, and that's
awesome.
Really something we can be proud of. Our retirement's not that great. Like, you got to be 62 years old before you can draw your pension, and you have to do 30 years. So 30 years and be 62. And when I started, I was 19. So I got to do 43 years before I can even pull my pension.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, like, I can do a full career. I probably do my 30 and then go elsewhere. And then when I turn 62, I can just draw that pension and then draw the other pension that I build somewhere else.
Have you thought about where you want to go next, if it comes down to that?
Lots of ideas flowing around. Don't really know exactly what it is yet.
Nice.
But no, man, it's been fun. I work with some of the best people, a lot of people that I call family.
Oh, yeah, on my ride along that I did. Amazing people.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, I've learned a lot just doing, it was only, what, 10 hours?
12.
12?
I can't say enough about the people I work with.
Oh, yeah.
That makes it easy. So, like, we do 24-hour shifts, and on my shift, like, we cook dinner every night. Every night. 7 p.m., I'm sorry, between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m., dinner served, everybody. And that's amazing right there. Like, we break bread every day.
Right.
Every shift. Every fourth day, we're at work. And I don't have to worry about bringing extra food for dinner.
Yeah.
Right. We all put into a pot. We all put into a pot $10 a shift. And that covers us. And if we build up enough money in our little shift account, then we splurge and we get some of these nice, fancy pizza restaurants. So.
Top tier eating right there.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's a good time. It's a real good time.
So has this been like, when you were little, is this what you've always wanted to do?
I've always wanted to serve, and in this capacity, it allows me to serve. I've been able to do some cool things, like I get to fly drones. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we do all the college games and all the different motorsports and big music events.
So you met a lot of celebrities.
I wouldn't say that, but we prioritize like the public safety drones. Like, there's a lot of cool things that come with that, and so we're looking at ingress and egress points for ambulance exchange points. We pair up a lot with our law enforcement partners and our fire partners, and our homeland security partners, and we'll map out the whole venues, the whole corridors of the city, and figure out what's the best way to ingress and egress. When we're flying, we're looking for patients, or we're finding patients in the crowd.
Unauthorized drones.
We also do monitor unauthorized drones in the airspace. If someone were to turn on their drone, we have software that detects exactly where that drone is, where that drone pilot is, and how high they are. Because drones are one of the number one terroristic threats for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do monitor those, especially with our large crowds. And I mean, you can't fly over people. You can't fly when public safety has a temporary flight restriction on that airspace.
Yep.
So we do a lot of it is just educational. Like, we don't send these individuals for criminal charges. Like, we're just going over there, let them know, hey, you can't fly here. Exactly. Here's the reasons why. And they're all like, oh, I didn't know. I bought this thing at Best Buy yesterday. Right.
That's awesome, man.
So
you said you do a lot of, like, let's say you said special events, like a football game, yeah, something like that.
So, football games, we find patients in the stands. We monitor the crowd outside the stadium. If we're in the area and there's a collision, we fly to the collision, let responders know, hey, here's what we got. We have a confirmed patient underneath the vehicle. We can see a patient's trapped under the vehicle. Just let them know what they're coming into, and they can see our feed. They just pull up their phone, and they can see exactly what we're seeing before they even get there.
Right, y'all are literally the eyes in the sky.
We are the eyes in the sky, just monitor people. And if someone calls 911 and they're lost in the crowd, we can find them. Like, hey, look up. Do you see the drone? Okay, we see you. And then we let the responders know, hey, here's the drone.
Stay there.
And the responders are flying or walking to where the drone is. We can deliver different things with our drone. PFDs, flotation devices, if you're drowning in the lake and we don't have the boat there yet and we don't have swimmers in the water. We can fly you a flotation device.
That's crazy.
Our next big phase in our program is autonomous drones. And so when someone calls 911 and they're reporting a cardiac arrest, we'll have pre-staged drones around the city. And at the start of the 911 call that's determined to be a cardiac arrest, that drone's going to launch, fly to the scene, deliver an AED, and then our communication personnel we'll be able to tell the caller, hey, go outside, grab the AED, and tell them exactly what to do before responders even get there. So we can defibrillate the heart at the earliest possible moment before responders even arrive.
What is this world coming to, man?
Innovation, bro.
Yeah.
Lots of innovation.
That's something like even 5 years ago you wouldn't even think of.
No, yeah, it's a pipe dream. But now it's becoming reality. It's really cool.
Yeah,
we still don't have flying cars yet. So
no, I mean, I think there is.
Come on, Elon, give us something, baby.
Wow.
But another big part of our show, like we want to, like, mostly this episode is just us pretty much introducing ourselves. we are going to be big on sports. And so we're going to do game predictions. And
who's your teams?
A little gambling.
Ooh.
I'm a Texas Longhorn fan for college. And unfortunately, I am a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Watch it, buddy.
I know you are, too. I mean, we're sitting in your garage, and we got a fucking Cowboys flag up. They're just pissing me off lately.
You know what, you know what's crazy, though, is I've always been a Baylor fan.
Baylor Bears. You were just a Baylor fan because Robert Griffin went there. No. Robert Griffin III graduated from our high school.
Why you gotta throw me under the bus like that, man?
Because it's the fucking truth.
I mean, yeah, I was only in middle school.
RG3. Dude, that guy has done phenomenal for a high school. I mean, he donated all new uniforms, all new equipment.
He's done a lot.
And not only for the football program, but also the track and field program. He's also donated to women's athletics. And that's been great. Like, I mean, we come from a small high school. And so having that donation really took us to the next level for those couple years. And that was pretty cool. Lots of respect for that guy. Now he's a full-time content creator and
analyst
for, is it ESPN or is it Fox?
I don't remember.
But he's doing some cool stuff.
He's funny, too.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude. But, I mean, we do have, and we are getting over a little sickness at the moment.
Yeah. It's been bad.
I made that noise on purpose just to go into the sickness. We are getting over a respiratory virus that has taken us both out.
I'm trying so hard not to just cough up a lung right now.
Our wives out and all of our children out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting over that. The shortness of breath has gotten better. The fevers have gotten better. You are coughing up a horse. You sound like you got something in your mouth that shouldn't be there. You dirty bird. But
you got jokes.
But, I mean, we're getting over it. And I mean, I've missed out on so many hours at work this week, and it's during the holidays, and so I just feel like I'm missing out on, you know, Christmas present money, and it
it sucks. Just, sometimes it could be a struggle out here.
Yeah, dude, I wanted to just grind out this as many hours as I can before the new baby gets here.
Right.
And I got baby girl number two on the way.
Congratulations.
Both girl dads. You got two, and I'm going to have two.
Yep. That's
fucking crazy. I just wanted to knock out as much as I can before I go on and leave. So this kind of like set me back a little bit in that way, but I'll pick up the grind again. I'll get back in it.
You'll get it.
But we have a big game coming on Saturday. Excuse me, clearing my throat there. That's very
nasty.
Assholeless
of me. Nasty.
But yeah, we got a big game coming this weekend. The Southeastern Conference Championship the Texas Longhorns and the Georgia Bulldogs. That is going to be a great game. What's your prediction, Nate?
That's kind of a hard one right there because Georgia took the first round.
Yeah, they did take the first win. That was a very controversial game.
I mean, have you ever seen a student section bully the referees like that before?
I have seen them attempt to, but I haven't seen them successful as they were that
day. None like the refs are scared, man.
But I mean, I will say Texas has done a lot, and they have educated their student body to, you know, we are going to respect our opponents, we're going to respect the game, and we're going to show good sportsmanship, not just player to player, but also spectator to player to the sport.
Yep.
Right.
Good. Keep it classy.
So we know Quinn Ewers, he was coming off of an injury, and he didn't come back as hot as he was before he got injured, his oblique injury he had, and now he's tending to an ankle injury on top of it. But my prediction is Texas is going to come out with a win. It's going to be close the whole game.
It's going to be close.
They are going to come out with the big W, and they're going to get their comeuffins.
The last game, they played it at Texas, right?
Yeah, Georgia came to Texas for the first time, and that was wild. We haven't seen an attendance like that in ever. We broke an attendance record at the stadium, and that's crazy. DKR was overfilled, and they literally had so much tailgating, and there was even a show outside the stadium broadcasting on TVs that people were watching because they couldn't get into the stadium. It was unreal.
Wow.
Absolutely unreal. So that was wild. They did lose. They didn't play their greatest game. They have learned a lot from that game, and they have built on themselves. But overall, like, Texas is showing to be one of the most all-around teams in college football. They're not just defensive strong. They're also offensive strong. Their defense is incredible. Michael Taft is doing some serious work in the defense. You know, interceptions and just covering his area. It's been insane. He's been doing great. I'm happy he got on scholarship last year.
What about Mr. Sandman Manning?
Arch Manning is incredible. He's doing, he's just a full-on athletic. He's just a full-on athlete. Not only can he throw the ball, but that boy can fucking run.
Oh, yeah, 20 miles an hour?
He was going 20.8 miles an hour for a touchdown during versus UTSA. He is a full athlete, running, passing quarterback. He is comfortable in the pocket. In Texas is doing this two-quarterback system that last game. And I don't know what Georgia's going to do here. Like, how are they going to prepare for now they're dealing with two star quarterbacks playing at the same time? Like, as we saw last week, Texas is rocking the red zone with Arch. You know, hold on one second. That was a weird night. We're in Nate's garage and we hear this guy singing in the outside. That's wild.
Hilarious.
Anyways, so they're playing a two quarterback system. All right. Third down, send an Arch. Arch scores a touchdown right off the
rip. With ease.
Right off the rip. With ease. I mean, it was close. He hit that pylon. It ended up perfect on the replay. Touchdown. And then that happened twice.
I think the second time, I don't think he...
The second time, I believe it was a... ended up being a pass. I have to look back at it. But it was still another controversial touchdown versus A&M.
Yep.
It was like a pylon move. The foot was in. Foot was out. That ended up being a touchdown. So, I don't know how Georgia's going to prepare for that. It's going to be hard for them.
I
don't know.
I heard Mr. Beck over there doesn't watch film. He said it's not fun. Carson Beck, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, watching film is not fun, but when it comes to, you know, learning from your mistakes, learning your opponent's moves, if he doesn't watch film, he is not going to do well in the NFL.
Oh, no. NFL is all about film.
Film, prepare, train. If he can't get the basics down now, he's not going to succeed in the next level. Like, he's doing great right now, you know, playing college football. But when you want to go pro, like, you got to have your basics together. Like, I'm clearly not an NFL player, but when I did play and I did athletic training back in high school, I mean, the basics, build your building blocks to be successful. And if he's not doing that now, he will not be successful in NFL. He's going to declare for the NFL, I'm sure, this year.
Yep.
Or next year, whichever he decides to do. But I give you my prediction right now. He would do less than 3 years in the NFL.
I don't even know if he's honestly a top 10. I mean, I haven't really seen him play. So.
But I'll tell you right now, Quinn Ewers, he keeps it up. He heals his injuries. He would do great in the NFL. He is most likely going to be a first-round pick. And we'll just watch Arch continue to grow. That boy is going to be a top-five pick if he keeps it up. You know, grace of God, he doesn't get injured. But he is going to be the next big shit. Well, come on. He's a Manning. And not only does he have both his uncle's skills when it comes to passing, but he's got his grandfather's skills and his dad's skills when it comes to running.
That is true.
He is a full all-around quarterback, and that's going to be great for whichever franchise gets to pick him up.
Won't be the Cowboys.
So, Nate, you also do a lot of sports card trading. Tell me yes, about that. Like, I don't
sports
know
cards.
Anything about sports
it's
cards.
It's like a new hobby I kind of taken up.
I don't know anything about sports cards. I don't know anything about trading cards, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever, baseball.
No, I mostly stick with just football. I mean, you can go to Walmart, grab a box, and you rip it, and you're trying to find like the top tier trading sports card there is, with like the new rookies or like Jaden Daniels.
So what's the point? Like, what's the goal? Just have a collection.
You have a nice collection.
You want to have 2024's like, team and then 2025's team. And
think of it like a nice investment. You know, it's all about what player, you know, how they're doing this season. Just like CJ Stroud.
But Nate, there's not a return on investment. Like, it's one in a million that you get a cool card.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, but it's like gambling. Am I going to get this card?
Dude, you might as well be playing a slot machine.
Hey, but it's something that people enjoy.
I'm just giving you shit.
I know you are. But just to let you know, I do get my sports cards from a gentleman named John. Y'all go give him a follow on TikTok, Breaks With Family. Man has great prices when it comes to sports cards. And he's very legitimate. So, shout out to you, John.
Way to go, John.
It's my homie.
I'm not really interested in the card realm when it comes to investing, but I am interested in this crypto finesse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand it, but I've made some money. I've seen some people make some money. And just watching it over the last decade just continue to grow. Like, it's outpacing the S&P 500. Like, there is big increases and decreases quickly. You're more likely to lose your investment. But if you stick with, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum.
Doge.
Like, man, dude, I know somebody.
All my stuff out.
I know somebody who made millions on Doge.
Already?
No, yeah, like before.
I mean,
when it exploded, when it was like, he bought in when it wasn't even a penny, bro.
Yeah,
like 0.0001, you know. He made money. I wish, and you know what?
It's stressful.
You know what drives me crazy, man? Is I did it. Mm-hmm. I bought it. I didn't hold it.
I did the same thing.
I didn't hold it.
I could have made. If I would have just stuck with it and just forget about it, I probably made over 100K.
With the investment that I had, I would have broke a million.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude.
So how do you feel to this day?
It's not just that. It's not just that, Nate. Bitcoin. Like in 2016 when it was like, you know, $1,500.
2015 is when it skyrocketed.
I was telling everybody, you know, buy Bitcoin. You know what?
You didn't even
I didn't listen buy to yourself. Any of it.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
Said the same thing about Tesla, and I didn't buy any of it. I told everybody to. I didn't do it. I wasted my money. I blew my money. I was a single guy. I spent my money on night shift snacks.
Energy drinks.
Yeah, you know, I wasted my money. You know, and I wanted to keep up with the Joneses, and so I bought things that I didn't need. Bought what I wanted, you know, made poor investment. And, you know, I could have followed my own advice and I would be a millionaire right now. That's a big bite in the ass, man.
Oh, yeah. That's like a nice little nut kick.
Yeah. So I do regret that.
Sorry, bub.
I do regret that, but I'm learning from it now and put a little bit that we can afford into it every now and then. I mean, my wife is a high-risk pregnancy, so it is just me working. So whatever money that we can able to afford to lose, we'll put it into...
Technically, you're not losing it. You're just investing it.
Yeah, but into crypto, like, you could lose it quickly.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Don't they have an app, though? Like, I think they just recently came out with an app where it follows... people's like
I don't think it's crypto. I think that's the stocks,
just the regular
because
stocks,
like yeah. You could follow the best trader in the world Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi, right?
Yeah.
The queen of insider trading. Like, if you follow her portfolio and you've been doing it for the last, you know, 8 years, you're more likely to be making money than anybody else.
I didn't know that. I didn't know
she Dude, there's so many men and women in Congress who had insider information, like the government was going to shut down and what was going to tank, who was going to be hit the most, who was going to sell out before anybody else in the general public did, and they made those trades before those announcements even came out. And they made millions.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So, yeah, we can get into politics too.
See, I'm not big into politics like that. Like, I kind of keep up with it, but I don't. It just doesn't intrigue me.
I keep up with it because there's a lot of topics out there and there's a lot of discussions out there that, I mean, a lot of it might not affect me directly, but it is going to affect my daughters.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to affect the next generation. But we have become a society that, you know, wants, right? How can I get my free check from the government? And go out and earn your own way. Like, do I wish I was a multimillionaire and billionaire that just have money to blow? Sure. Who doesn't? But if you did what they did, and you have that money, and now, you know, me and you know what, let's take some of their money. Let's tax them even more. Let's take it away from them. Because how dare them have more than I? I would be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I did the grind. I did the work. I took the risk. And now you want to punish me because you can't do that? But you can. If you put your mind to something and you put the money where your mouth is, you can do it too.
Oh, most definitely.
But people don't have the motivation, the drive, the grit, the want. They can't. Well, that's what they tell themselves anyways. I mean, that's kind of why we're here. Like, we just came up with an idea. Let's do a podcast. Let's see where it goes. And
yeah, I'm still learning this whole thing.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vortex. It's going to be a fun ride. Huh. We'll hit you guys up next time.